This is the Inland Empire Answer Podcast.
Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Inland Empire Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to have you along with us today and very happy to welcome back to the program one of our Inland Empire Answer experts. She is the author of Next Gen Marxism, which you should get right now wherever you get your books. You can follow her, katiegorka.org. And we have a pretty big announcement coming over the next couple of weeks. Katie Gorka, welcome back to the Inland Empire Answer. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jen. So happy to be here on a beautiful sunny day.
You know what? Beautiful here as well. And speaking of beautiful, before we get started, I have it on good authority that we only have a few cabins left for our Patriots Alaska cruise. 47 cabins sold from Southern California, from AM 590, AM 870, which is incredible. And if you want to join us, I think there are only about 9 cabins left. So you have until the end of the month to get on this. If you want to cruise to Alaska with me, Katie Gorka, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Mike Gallagher, Chris DeGaulle, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And we'll tell you why. First, Alaska is a bucket list trip. If you have not been before, you have to see the beauty that Alaska has to offer. But the reason I say this is once-in-a-lifetime is that we will probably never all be together again cruising at this moment in time in the run-up to the 2024 presidential election. If you want to be inspired, if you want to be motivated to make real change in this country, you got to be on board the Patriots Alaska Cruise. We've got events planned each and every day just for our group. Plus, you're going to be seeing the beauty of Alaska. You're going to be able to, if you're crazy and adventurous, helicopter out to a glacier. If you're more like me, you'll be able to walk up to a glacier. If you like the history of the gold rush that's rampant in Juneau, got all the totem poles and culture in Ketchikan, it's going to be amazing. And that ship, the Holland America Eurodam, Katie, it's really cool. I know you've been checking out the amenities.
Yeah, I watched a great YouTube video of, I think, a British guy taking a little tour of the boat and showing us around. And I loved it. I think it looks really great. And I have to tell you, I don't think I've told you this. I'm actually listening to the audiobook of James Michener's Alaska. So I'm getting the history as well. And I am so excited to go. It's going to be a great trip.
I love that. Good. So you're going to be able to give us a few little nuggets as we tour around. I think that's awesome. So if you want to join us, PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com. Again, we are only keeping this open through the end of the month just because of the high demand. So you've only got a couple weeks left. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about it, check it out. PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com. You can book online, save $50 per person, and you can pick your cabin out right there online. Or, of course, you can contact Inspiration Tour Travel directly and ask them your questions. Get all the information, PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com, or go to our website, am590.info or am870.info. Click on the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner right there on the homepage. All right, Katie, can't wait to do that with you. And of course, it is going to be a lot of fun. But before we get there, we have to talk about some of the news of the day. And you are doing something pretty interesting today in Virginia. You want to tell people about that first?
Sure. So our Democrat Board of Supervisors here in Fairfax County has proposed a 7% real estate tax increase, right? This at a time when Americans are all having to tighten their belts because of skyrocketing gas prices, food prices. I mean, inflation, not to mention interest rates, right? Inflation is hitting everybody hard. And our Board of Supervisors, they're not tightening their belts. Oh, no. They want more money out of us, and they want to increase our taxes. So in my new role as chair of the Fairfax GOP, I'm going to go and testify against the tax. And I just have to say, what I find so interesting about this is, you know, it never would have occurred to me as a sort of average citizen to go do something like that. But now that I'm doing it, I'm like, why wouldn't I? Right. This is something that will so directly impact me, my family. Right. If this goes through, we're going to be paying significantly more in taxes. And yet it really wouldn't have occurred to me as a citizen to raise my voice about this. So I'm just kind of loving this political process that, you know, the deeper I go, the more involved I get, the more I realize we really need to be involved and we need to step up and speak out, or we're not going to stop these out of control bureaucrats who are taxing us to death and spending us to death.
Yeah, it's so important, and especially when it comes to pocketbook. I mean, it's amazing to me, and it sounds like Virginia really echoes what happens here in California a lot when they think, you know, they already know that people are suffering, but they think they need more money. And so what do? They try to get blood out of the turnip by reaching out to taxpayers who are already doing more than their fair share. And it's brutal. I mean, we had the state of our city from Los Angeles. Mayor Karen Bass spoke yesterday, and she's talking about all of these new programs and things. Everything costs money, and it is already so expensive to live here. I don't know. I mean, this is why you're seeing so many people leave California, because they just can't afford a good life here anymore.
Can I tell you, we are facing the same thing in Fairfax County. So we have actually, in the last few years, we have had the first net outflow of residents from Fairfax County since 1830.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. They're pushing people out because of the prices and the real estate taxes, and yet they want to raise them even further. They're crazy.
That is so insane. And this is the real life issues that it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, you could see where the parties are, how they want to protect you or they want to take from you. But holy smokes, this is one of those uniter issues. If you can't afford to feed your kids or, you know, just even ever have the dream of owning a home, you're going to leave. And that's where so many people are right now. It's so crazy.
Yep.
Speaking of crazy, we have a lot of crazy going on in California. So we've had warnings throughout the state from the California Highway Patrol now, you'll love this, about South American gangs who are literally ambushing people on freeways and stealing from them. Now we had a couple of women who were walking through Venice Beach, California. They lived there. They were walking through the canals and they were attacked. And we're not talking, I mean, one woman was attacked around 10 o'clock, the other, I think, 7 in the evening. A man ambushed these women from behind. This one person has talked about this atrocious attack. Her teeth got knocked out. Her jaws wired shut. He literally bashed this woman's face in. And this woman is Mary Klein. She was 54 years old, just walking around her house. She said that she was raped. She was tortured. She said it felt like he was trying to kill her, like he had been hit by a truck. And what strikes me about this, Katie, is that this woman, first of all, is brave enough to tell her story. And her face, I mean, she was beaten. It's heartbreaking. And we have this issue where we used to say that we wanted to support women. We wanted to protect women. We wanted to protect children. But what California has now kind of sunk into is protecting criminals and not protecting women at all. We've given up protecting women and women's sports. Now we're on to the streets where there just doesn't seem to be anybody watching out for them. And this is not an indictment of the police. The police are overtaxed. They can't be every single place at the same time. But California's created this sense of lawlessness. So these two women, one of them now speaking out, this Mary Klein, they were brutally attacked, in which George Gascon, and I have a little audio here for you to listen to, the DA of LA County said was one of the worst things he had ever seen. Take a listen to this.
I want to express my deepest condolences to both of the victims and their families for their suffering. We are going to make sure that justice is done, not only for them, but for our community. As I mentioned before, these are probably some of the most heinous sexual assaults that I've ever seen.
For him to say that, you know what he's seen. You know how he coddles criminals. Those are pretty strong words coming from George Gascon. And it absolutely incenses me when I see all of these women who are in elected office, particularly not standing up and saying something. Well, finally, an L.A. City Councilwoman, Tracy Park, stood up at a podium and had this to say. And I really am curious about your reaction, Katie. Take a listen.
It is time that we get serious about public safety in Los Angeles. As the councilwoman for the 11th District and as a resident myself, I am sick and tired of living in the middle of a failed social experiment. We have all had enough. Enough with the ridiculous soft on crime, defund the police, catch and release, harm reduction. Criminals are the victims' policies that got us into this mess. Enough. I stand with the victims of these horrific crimes, my friends, my neighbors, and my constituents in Council District 11, in calling on our city's leaders to continue investing in public safety and ensuring that our police department has all the personnel and to every tool and to every resource that it needs to keep Los Angeles safe.
Now, we're starving for that here in Southern California to hear someone say that, but well done. This is a woman who is now standing up for the safety of other women, for other residents of California. She's a Democrat. She was a Republican. I don't really care. I just think it's time for us to do the right thing, Katie, and stand up and allow people to feel safe in their own communities.
I'm impressed that she said this as a Democrat.
I know.
Because, boy, that sure challenges the Democrat narrative. And I just have to say, you'll remember, this is super personal for us as a family, too. I wasn't attacked, but you remember our house was broken into just over a year ago. Same problem. The police told us we have the same problem here. You're getting South American gangs. They come up on the highways. They dip into the neighborhoods. They break into houses. I mean, our son, they broke into our son's bedroom window. He came home. He missed them by a matter of minutes. And I just, you know, I dread to think what would have happened if he had come into the house when they were still here. And we have the same problem there. We have the same problem here that you have, which is we have a Soros-funded radical DA who's not prosecuting crime. And people in Fairfax County are fed up with it.
Yeah, and that's what's happening, I think, finally here, is that you're reaching a breaking point where you're constantly looking over your shoulder. You're afraid to go. I mean, gosh, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I've told you this before. I want to be able to go into a Macy's or into a shopping mall without looking over my shoulder. It's not even possible anymore. And now they're saying you can't even drive on the freeway without worrying about being ambushed if you're a jeweler or if you're someone who has to take around amounts of money if you're working in a business that does that. It's crazy. And it's about time. And that's why I give this woman, Tracy Park, I had not spent much time looking at her or paying attention to her. But the fact that she was brave enough to call out what really truly is a failed social experiment when it comes to crime, you're not making criminals go away by being soft on them. You're just giving them life. They're able to commit crimes as they want, and they run around with no repercussions. And gosh, it's refreshing to hear that kind of those words coming out an elected representative's mouth here in California.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm just really curious if her colleagues are going to give her a hard time. But I agree. God bless her for having the courage to stand up and go against the grain and say so boldly what she said.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right. Quickly here, because we've got one more story, because we always talk about parents, and much of people's activism, I think, starts when you're out there protecting your kids. There's a school district in Southern California, the Glendale Unified School District, that has been publicly battling parents, like many school districts in California, over some of the woke curriculum, some of the really ridiculous books that they want to include in the school library. And parents in Glendale had enough. They started fighting back. They started showing up to school board meetings, like 500 people deep. Now, we're not just talking about a few people, many, many parents getting involved. Well, in Glendale last week, there was a kid who, I guess it seems, was eating in class. He wasn't supposed to. He gets into some kind of altercation back and forth with the teacher. He claims that the teacher hit him, and he's got a picture of a red mark, like he was hit on his arm. He also has a friend who took a recording of what the teacher said. All you can hear is the audio here. Take a listen to what the teacher said after this hit.
You can't hit me.
Yes, I can. I'm not afraid of you or your parent or your lawyer whatsoever.
So she says, I'm not afraid of you, your parents, your lawyer. That's the teacher screaming at the kid, allegedly after she hit him. And it was caught on video. Now, look, we weren't in the classroom. We don't know what this kid's history is. We don't know what the teacher's history is. But what happened next, we do know. And that is that the Glendale Unified School District tried to get a hold of that audio that the student recorded and tried to delete it from their cell phone. And they did delete it, but the kid had already emailed it to his parents. So now we're hearing it. So my question is, regardless of what was going on in that situation, because I'm sure there are multiple sides that we could talk to, the school district should be transparent, especially when they've been notorious for trying to hide things from parents over the last several years.
Well, and this is, you know, such a famous case here in Loudoun County, where you remember the school district there hid two, I think one or two sexual assaults. They hid one sexual assault, and then the kid was moved to another school.
Wow, I remember that.
Yeah, and the I think it was the superintendent who ended up having to resign. There's now a $30 million civil rights lawsuit against the school board. You can't do this. You can't hide these things from parents. And I'm just kind of shocked that schools like in Glendale, that they think that they can hide this and get away with that.
And that's why it shows you have to be on guard when it comes to your kids, especially if you're using the public school system. You just have to be on the lookout. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's true. We can't be asleep at the switch anymore. We've got to be there with them. Whether it's our eyes or our ears, that's for sure. Katie Gorka, always great to chat with you. Make sure you check out our website, katiegorka.org. Travel with us to Alaska at patriotsalaskacruise.com. And don't forget to pick up her book, Next Gen Marxism, available right now wherever you get your books. Katie, thanks so much for being with us. Good luck with your testimony today.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk soon. That's Katie Gorka. There's more up ahead. It's the Inland Empire Answer on AM 590, The Answer.
Now, more with Jennifer Horn. This is the Inland Empire Answer.
Welcome back to the Inland Empire Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to have you along with us today. And on the Morning Answer on Tuesday, we were joined by Dr. G himself, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, for a look at what President Trump is facing, what could happen, and what the American people will think, or what they do think, of the criminal trial against President Trump. Dr. Sebastian Gorka from Tuesday Morning. Take a listen.
You mean the judge whose daughter got $3.4 million from Adam Schiff?
That's
another
her.
$2 million from Kamala Harris. That judge?
That's the one.
Yeah, it's an outrage. The president is right. You know, the great thing is every time he comes out of the courtroom, the cameras are there. They're giving him a podium. I'll just quote a really good friend of mine, one of my favorite podcasters, who said with this trial, they could be handing President Trump the election. And you know what? I think they might be right, because people see through this. They realize this is an abuse of power. This is real election interference. So just carry on doing what you're doing, because Americans are waking up.
You know, one of the things that made that clear is President Trump says, hey, there's a couple conflicts I have with the trial, one being his son's graduation from high school, the other being oral arguments about his immunity case in front of the Supreme Court. And the judge basically said, "Ugats, tough luck. If you miss one day, I'll threaten to put you in jail."
And this isn't even a real judge. You look at his background; he's something like a traffic judge or something. This is really obscene. And the fact that, look, what is the likelihood that some company nobody's ever heard of, some woman nobody's ever heard of, that she's just suddenly getting millions of dollars from Kamala Harris's campaign fund, from Adam Schiff's campaign fund? I mean, doesn't that smack of Banana Republic? And she's actually using her father's case against Trump to raise funds. I think it's pretty obvious what this is really about.
Yeah, it's, I'm sure, just a coincidence. Not at all.
Yeah.
And they look, I mean, this is what we feel in all these cases, is that somehow they're connected back all together again with this Take Down Trump movement using the weaponized system of justice. I mean, the fact that the FEC, that the DOJ actually passed on this, but Alvin Bragg comes up there and says, oh, no, I'm going to figure out a way to make this work, even when it's beyond the statute of limitations. It's like they're trying to get him at all costs. And Dr. G, we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth noting. It's not just Democrats. It's not just Republicans. Swamp creatures are afraid of President Trump because he isn't owned by anybody. They can't control him. And that disrupts their apple cart, if you will.
It's the reason they have to destroy him, because no one owns him. He's not owned by Big Pharma, the unions, the oil industry, the military industrial complex. That's why they want to destroy him. And I mean both sides of the aisle, the Rhino establishment and the radicalized Democrat Party, because he, of all people, can drain the swamp. That's why the 91 charges, that's why four indictments, that's why 730 years in prison, because Trump is owned by no one. And that's what petrifies them the most.
Thanks so much, Dr. G. Make sure you give him a follow at Seb Gorka on all the social media profiles and platforms. And, of course, you can find America First right here on AM 590 at 8 p.m. There's more up ahead. It's the Inland Empire Answer on AM 590, The Answer.
Fresh California Radio. This is the Inland Empire Answer with Jennifer Horn.
Welcome back to the Inland Empire Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Thanks for being with us today. And you may have heard that April 15th was more than just tax day. April 15th was also a day of demonstration for many anti-Israel protesters around the country. We had protests in Chicago where the airport was really shut down, or at least the entry points were slowed down to shut down going into Chicago O'Hare. You had people getting out of their cars and walking 20 minutes with their luggage to try to make their flights. You had the Golden Gate Bridge, which was shut down in San Francisco by 100 protesters. And you also had about 100 demonstrators gathering in downtown Los Angeles. It sounded like this.
And as a Palestinian American growing up here, I think it's really important that the youth are starting to speak up and really feel empowered to take a stance and say, enough is enough. We don't want to keep funding this. We don't want war. We don't want violence. But the only way to do that is to hold our government accountable.
Our politicians are not listening to us. The people who represent us are not listening to us. And we're saying there is no business as usual. We will not stop. We are resilient. We are not tired. And we will not be done until Palestine is free.
Now, those are protesters and demonstrators from downtown Los Angeles, closest to us here at home. It seems that these are not people who are organically just finding their way to Chicago O'Hare, the Golden Gate Bridge, or downtown Los Angeles. No, it seems that one of the Iranian opposition activists, Vahid Bassetti, on Monday exposed a confidential letter written by a high-ranking officer in Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is a terrorist organization as designated by the United States, that revealed Iran has secretly been supporting anti-Israel rallies around the world. Now, we knew that this money had to come from somewhere, because these are not people who just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to have to go out and tell the world how much I love Hamas. No, these are people who are being paid. So how are they getting paid and by who? And now it seems that the answer is Iran. The IRGC is clearly organizing and promoting these actions aimed at destroying our modern society. This is the word of Vahid Bassetti. All the while, our politicians continue to appease them, placing our values, stability, and public order under great jeopardy. Now, if this is true, if Iran is supporting this disruption, right, all it does is just create more chaos. Why? What are they seeing as the end game? Maybe it's to put the pressure on the Biden administration to soften its stance and to turn on Israel. That would probably be the top reason. But what else are they looking for? 877-590-5843. That's our Inland Empire answering machine. You can chime in on that. We know that President Biden already has made it his mission to try to appease some of the activists on the Democrat side of the aisle. Now, when asked about whether or not they would support a standalone funding bill for Israel, both Admiral John Kirby and Karine Jean-Pierre had interesting answers. We'll start first with John Kirby, who was asked whether or not to help Israel get its funding, would they be willing to just work on that standalone bill, which would just fund Israel's ability to defend itself? The answer is a big fat no.
You are opposed to a standalone bill that would just work on Israel, as we've seen proposed. We would oppose a standalone bill, yes.
Now, Karine Jean-Pierre was also asked the same question about whether or not they would move forward with the standalone bill. Her answer was really the same. I mean, it is pretty interesting to see how quickly the Biden administration lines up their messaging on this. She says that it wouldn't work. That's why they don't support a standalone bill. Take a listen.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he'll move forward with a vote on additional Israel aid. If Congress were to pass additional aid for Israel, and only that, will President Biden reject it?
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone a standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what was happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
It would totally help them to do a standalone. And by the way, I'd argue it'd help the American people if every bill was a standalone. The biggest atrocity in Washington, D.C. is tying all of these bills together because it's easier for them. It's easier for them to hide money in for all their pet projects. No way. It's time that we start passing bills through individually. That is helpful to the American people, despite what Karine Jean-Pierre says, that no, that wouldn't help anybody. Sure, it would. It would help Israel. They'd get funding. It would pass. It would pass in the Senate. It would pass in the House. Let's get to it. They want to tie it all together. They want to hold people's hands so that we keep funding a war that is going nowhere in Ukraine. Now, Peter Ducey, finally in this segment when it comes to Iran, asked John Kirby and said that the sanctions lifted on Iran, whether or not they're regretting that as an administration.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars.
For Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
What's interesting about this is it may not be going directly to the leadership of Iran, but when you start putting that into other places, Iran no longer has to pay money for whatever that money is going to. So they have more money to put together rockets and drones to send places like Israel to try to drain them of their resources to defend themselves. This is what they don't want to tell you. They don't want to tell you that when you release that money to Iran, in a country like Iran, it is not going straight to the people. It is by association helping the leadership, which we are opposed to, which supports terrorism throughout the globe, which funded in some part the attack on Israel on October 7th. Unbelievable. And you'd expect some sort of honesty here, but you don't get it, that's for sure. All right, we're going to talk to Dr. Sebastian Gorka next. President Trump is in court day two of his hush money trial. Only about a third of U.S. adults believe Trump did something illegal regarding the case, according to AP, the Center for Public Affairs Research, a poll out on Tuesday. Democrat Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg charged Trump with 34 felonies, accusing him of falsifying documents to conceal a sex scandal. And this is the first criminal trial ever of a president in the United States. He could face jail time if convicted. And it's interesting to see that the majority of the people in the United States, according to the Associated Press, no less, think that Trump even did something wrong. One in three said that he did something wrong. Two-thirds believe that he didn't. What do you think? 877-590-5843. More up ahead. It's the Inland Empire Answer on AM 590, The Answer.
News, opinions, and California cool. It's the Inland Empire Answer with Jennifer Horn.
Welcome back to the Inland Empire Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Happy to have you along with us today, and always very happy to welcome back into the program our buddy, our producer extraordinaire, the fantastic executive producer, Daniel West. We call him Dan Dan the Phone Man. Hey, Dan Dan.
Hey, Jen. How's it going?
Good. Now, you have been buzzing because you did a little Well, you did a little fun extracurricular last night. You got invited to a movie premiere at Universal, right?
Yeah, Universal Studios.
All right, so tell us about it. What was the movie? How was the – give us the whole rundown.
All right, it was called The Hopeful.
Okay.
And it is in theaters the 17th and the 18th.
Got it.
And
so it's a limited release.
Yeah, limited release. It'll be nationwide. So I believe they said you go to – let me look at my notes here. I have notes, Jen.
I see this.
I always have notes.
Good. Your
in
notes
fact,
are good.
Here's a little behind the scenes. While you're introducing me, I was scrambling through my backpack
to
because
find the
notebook got lost at the bottom. So if you go to thehopefulmovie.com
okay.
is where you can find it. So it's a limited release deal, but it'll be – a lot of theaters nationwide,
mm-hmm.
and I really appreciate some of the people here. I have their names. I also wrote their names down because sometimes, you know, name memorization, not my greatest strength.
Yeah, I got you.
But
on that.
Tracy, Lori, Andy, they reached out to me and said, you know, hey, would you be interested in coming? They were familiar with Salem Media Group, and this is a faith-based film.
Okay.
But the thing I appreciate, and I talked with one of the producers, and I'll play a little audio for you. The thing I appreciate is that when it comes to movies like this, it's not just about the faith aspect, but as far as the values aspect as well.
I love that. And
yeah.
What I love is when it hits you kind of almost, I don't want to say subtly, because when it's heavy-handed, I think a lot of people will like tune away. But when it's a great story and an inspiring tale, then that makes it like really sink in even better.
Yeah, it was a really good story, an expansive story. So I want to play
yeah.
a little audio because
okay.
I went, they hooked me up, and in fact, I'll send you a photo. There was a little paper on the floor that said like the morning show, so they
oh,
knew that
great.
We were coming.
Okay.
So I got some audio. So this is the director, Kyle Potbury, was talking about kind of like the overall story of the movie and kind of what he wants people to take away from it.
Awesome.
Like, I think we need a bit of hope and healing, particularly this week. There's a lot of scary things going on in the world, and I think for families, there's very few films where people from 5 to 95 can go together and have that conversation. You know, how can I be the hope and healing in the world in my little sphere, you know, in a crazy place that would exist in time and history?
I like that.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So give us the like a little synopsis of what it's about.
Sure. So it tells the story kind of the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of starts, I don't think this is a spoiler necessarily, but it starts with the idea that Jesus is coming at this specific day and time. And spoiler alert, this is in the 1800s, so he does not.
Uh-oh.
So where do you go from here? And in some ways, how does God kind of use that, even if this guy wasn't correct and mm-hmm. maybe some people didn't have the date wrong, can there still kind of be redemption in that? And then the story kind of goes from there and follows some different people. And it was a really enjoyable movie. Beautifully shot, by the way. That was one of my big takeaways. The music is spectacular.
Anybody
well.
We know in it?
I don't think so. There is a man, Jonas, who did some of the music for it. And he's well known in the Christian music mm-hmm. scene. So he did some of the music for the movie. But yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you liked it. That sounds like a fun day. And what about the red carpet? Because you actually did like the full red carpet experience, right?
It was my first time, and I feel like I learned a lot.
Oh yeah, did you learn how to stand with your hip jutted forward?
No, well, because I just did the audio, so thankfully, and it was kind of a cool experience to have the audio side, because you know people felt a little bit comfortable without the cameras. We could kind of relax a little bit. I'll play one more thing for
yeah.
you on my way out. But that was cool. But I feel like I learned. You know, that was the old phrase, kind of fake it till you make it a little bit. So I got there and I was like, all right. Kind
so
of
you
got
actually,
it.
I thought you walked the red carpet. You worked the
I
red
worked
carpet.
The red, yeah,
Look
I
at
worked
you, Daniel.
Carpet,
I thought you were
yeah.
taking pictures
no,
and doing
I,
your glamour
no,
shots.
No, I got some audio for you here. So the audio I want to play here is one of the producers was talking about a story of part of this movie is shot on a boat. And there are a lot of tracking shots of this boat out on the water, kind of an 1800s boat. And he was sharing a story about something that kind of miraculous happened while they were shooting this part of the movie.
If you've ever been to Scotland, you know that it rains. And so it was going to start raining right at 6 p.m. when we were supposed to shoot. And I gathered the crew. We do our safety briefing, and then we do something a little different. I said, would you mind bowing your heads, and I'd like to pray over this. And, I mean, I was paying the bills, so they said yes. And so we bowed our heads, we prayed over the shoot, and we got to work. We get 1 hour in, there's no rain. 2 hours in, got perfect cloud cover, so we're getting just the right lighting, and yet no rain. 3 hours in, we get through the entire shoot. We come back to the dock. We disassemble the drone. We even put it into the vans. The moment we close the doors, it just starts raining. And it was the coolest thing to hear from, you know, one of those excellent cinematographers mentioning to the Scottish producer, said, you know, I've never been on a shoot where they prayed before it. And the Scottish producer said, well, it worked, didn't it?
I love that. That's very cool. And you know what? We've had those moments where we go, gosh, we were doing some important work, and we had that protection because maybe we prayed for it. I
Absolutely.
Love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was Kevin, one of the producers of the film. And I think in closing, my main takeaway is, you know, we talk a lot, especially in L.A. and Southern California, about Hollywood and the media, and there are good things being made. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good idea to highlight some of them, because the more that people support them, the more that people see, hey, there is an audience for this that doesn't just want the traditional fare that might not be uplifting, that might not be God-honoring, or times just plain decent in content matter. So I think it's important to kind of highlight these things, and I appreciate
Absolutely.
Them
And I think
out.
People should probably try to check this film out. What is it called? The Hopefuls?
The Hopefuls. So you go to thehopefulmovie.com, and you can see where it's playing the 17th and the 18th. So
awesome. I love it. What a good little tip, and it gives us something to do. That's Wednesday and Thursday, thehopefulmovie.com for information on that. Awesome, Dan. Well, that was fun. A good night. You can be our roving movie reporter now.
All right, that sounds good.
You've got a new job title, Dan the Movie
year.
Man.
All right, sounds good. I'll come up with some stuff. I feel like last year we had the Barbenheimer weekend, and I helped with part of that, and it got the bug growing of kind of getting into movies.
Getting into the film. Well, now here we go. I like it. You can find some good ones for us.
All right, I will.
All right, thanks, Dan. Give him a follow at Dan Phone Man on X, and thank you so much for joining us. It's the Inland Empire Answer on AM 590, The Answer.